are so blessed here to have so many people come in all of our campuses. It's good to see you this morning. How are we doing? All right, we're alive, we're warm, we're toasty. That's so good. Hey, let's say hi to some friends that are tuning in with us. First, let me say hi to all those at Lakeside. I just kind of snuck over there to say hi to you guys, but sorry you're over there, but we appreciate you being here and linking in with us. I want to say hi to all the men at the Ramsey unit. We're so glad that you guys are leaning in with us today. Also, to all of those watching online, wherever you are watching from, maybe Hawaii, where it's not cold like it is now, we're a little jealous of you. It's awesome. Also want to say hi to our West End campus and then also my family at the Missouri City campus. Love you guys. Sorry I couldn't be there, but T's going to take good care of you. Also want to say, just because everyone says I talk about the Texans way too much, so with that, let me just say, what a great season. Are we proud of our Texans? For those of you that are fans, we are very fortunate in our church to have a few from the organization. I just wanted to take a second just to shout them out quickly. I know they're watching from Missouri City or at least online. They got back late last night from Baltimore. But Ben and Darwin, Mike, Colby, Leander, Rod, Chris, Will, and Brent, guys, thank you so much for all your hard work this season. And we're glad to get to pour into you in the off season, you and your families here at our church. So let's give it up for them, all those guys. Next year is going to be great. Now I understand what it's like to be a Cowboy fan. Okay, so let's just kidding. Gosh, that was too soon. Just lost credibility with 2% of the room. Okay, let's jump in. We are pumped that you are here. I am pumped you are here. I don't know if you're pumped to be here, but we're all here together. It's going to be great. We are in a series called Blueprint, and the idea of our series is, hey, we are all headed somewhere in this new year. I know we're a few weeks in. It's hard to say new year anymore, but we're in a new year, and we thought, hey, mapping out a plan to kind of a guide to help us navigate this new year to hopefully be productive but helpful to grow in our relationship with God, our relationship with others. And so that's the idea behind Blueprint. And today, we're going to lean into a topic that I would probably describe as a bruising blessing, because it has to do with people, and people are a blessing, but they can also bruise you a little bit, right? Because we're all imperfect, we're broken, we're jacked up from the floor up, we got issues, and when we come together, man, sometimes it's problematic. And yet, meaningful, deep, meaningful relationships in our life is so important. Now, this may surprise you if you've gotten to know me a little bit, maybe you met me in the lobby, or I know the folks at Missouri City might be surprised by this, but I'm actually an introvert. Now, if you meet me, you go, well, you're pretty social and outgoing, so that's kind of confusing, because I thought an introvert was quiet, and they hate people, and they don't want to talk to anybody. And the reality is, that's just a misconception of the introvert-extrovert breakdown. See, really, an introvert, really, the best way to describe it is, when they recharge alone. The extrovert, like which my wife is, she recharges with people. So some weekends we have to link up and go, okay, we need to recharge. Who's recharging? Are we throwing a party or are we locking the doors and turning off the phone? And hopefully I win because I need the recharge, right? And so it's all how you look at it that way. But the better way for us to process our engagement with others are these simple terms. Here's the first one. The question is, are you sociable and outgoing? Right? You could still be an introvert, but the better question is, are you sociable and outgoing? You're naturally going to make friends and relationships a lot easier. Or the other group of us is quiet and more reserved. You tend to be a little slower to build relationships. Now, immediately, the outgoing person or persons will say, oh, you're about to talk about people? Listen, I don't need this message because I got all the friends in the world. And to that, I would say, you are probably right. You have a ton of acquaintances. But how many deep, meaningful relationships do you have? It's typically the more social, the more outgoing you are, the more people you're connected to, but you don't always have deep relationships. On the other hand, the more quiet, reserved, or maybe the introverted folks tend to have less relationships, but their relationships are very deep and very meaningful. They're hard to get into, but once you're in, you are brothers or sisters for life. Now, why is this important? Because it doesn't matter if you're an introvert, an extrovert, if you're social, if you're quiet, more reserved, we all need people in our lives. And you know this, if you've driven down the highway and there's traffic and you want to get in the HOV lane, you need people, right? You need someone. Pick up a stranger, doesn't matter. You just need someone, right? We get this. Or if you're sick, guys, we get this. If we're sick, we need our wives and our moms to take care of us. And I know that's a problem because some of the wives say, well, why does, when I get sick, I just keep going. When he gets sick, he's done for. And to that I'd say, I don't know, but it's just the way it is. I don't know. So we get this. We need people in our life. We need meaningful connection. But I don't want you to just take it from me. I want to show you this in Scripture because I think that's very important. Look at the first part. The first thing we see in the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 2, two chapters in, we see that God says it is not good for the man to be alone. Now, if you look at this, you go, okay, that's a little confusing because I thought God was just wrapping up this beautiful and perfect creative process, and then all of a sudden it says not good, which makes us think God must have made a mistake. But the reality is, the better way for us to look at this is that it's just not finished yet. God knew where it was headed. God knew that people being together was going to be a key part of this process. And so while looking down and at the moment, only seeing Adam, he said, hey, man alone is not good. And you might ask, why? Why is he thinking that? Well, remember, God in himself is a party. God is one God in three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's a party. He's around people. And so he understands we need that too. So the first thing we see is God says it's not good for you and I to try to navigate this life alone. But then we fast forward and Jesus, when he comes onto the scene, Jesus modeled this for us. Jesus was in deep relationship with his family in his early years. And then in his 30s, when he started ministry, we see that he connected with 12 guys and had an even deeper connection with three of those 12. Jesus modeled for us the great value in having people in your life. And then we could fast forward a little bit more. And in the New Testament, we see the beginning of the church in Acts. And right in the middle, right at the core of the church is community. Let me show you this in Acts. It says this, those who believed what Peter said, Peter had just preached the gospel. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Now this is fascinating. The church was about 120, and in one day, boom, grew to 3,100. It's amazing. This is rapid growth. By the way, we're not seeing maybe that rapid growth, but we are seeing growth here at River Point. So it does us well to lean in and to see what is at the core of a church that's growing fast. And here's what it says. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to learning, to fellowship. We'll come back to that. To sharing meals, family table. Also including the Lord's Supper. They would pause periodically to stop and to remember as Jesus instructed to take communion, to take the Lord's Supper, to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And then it says, and to prayer. And so we look at this, the core of the first church that was rapidly growing, what is right in the middle? It was fellowship. Now, today, when we see the word fellowship, it's probably two angles. If you've never really been to church before, you're probably not 100% sure what that word is, but you got an idea. If you've grown up in church, you see that word a lot of times on a flyer. We're having a barbecue, or we're playing bingo and eating bites, whatever that is, sounds awesome. And you think that's it, but the truth is, that's just an event. That's just a social setting. Very important to start the process, but when it uses the word fellowship, this is saying deep, rooted, meaningful connections. It's a deep thing that we navigate life together. In fact, from the word fellowship, we get the idea of to share, that they shared a common thing, which was they were followers of Jesus. They had given their life to him, but they also, in the early church, they shared their things. They shared their time, their resources, their money, they shared it so that everyone could come together and everyone could be reached and the gospel could carry on. At the heart, at the core of the church is deep, meaningful relationships. So, some of you go, all right, we've heard this message before. We need people in our life. Okay, great. Well, I want to show you something that I think is helpful. I think there's three relationships that you don't have to have, but I think can be tremendously helpful to your life. I want to show you three. Here's the first one. The first one is this. I believe we all need a mentor like Paul was to Timothy. We all need someone that we can look up to, that we could look and see, man, you've been there before. You've walked this road. You get it. I think it's so tremendously helpful for us to have that. For Timothy, he was able, as a young pastor, leading a small but young and growing church, he looked to Paul, who was the founding pastor, and said, help me. He would look to him for his wisdom, for his experience, and for his perspective. We need someone that's gone before us. And by the way, mentoring doesn't always come with age. Sometimes it's experience over age. But man, to be able to look ahead and see someone that's led the way before, how helpful can that be? The second relationship I think we all need is just the flip of that. It's what Timothy was to Paul. Timothy was a mentee to Paul. That Paul said, I'm going to make time. And I don't think Paul just had a whole lot of time hanging around as he's launching all these churches and traveling and doesn't have the technology that we did. And yet he said, I'm going to make time to invest in Timothy, because I believe in him. 1 Timothy 1:2 says this. Paul describes him as my true son in the faith. Paul took on Timothy as his own, and he poured in. Now, some of you are going, well, I'm not a pastor. So what does that look like? Well, how about this? Of course, your kids, you're pouring into your kids, and I think that's wonderful, and you should do that. But I don't want you to wait until your kids leave the house before you start mentoring someone, because the truth is, they may not ever leave. Like, that's a thing now. So I want you to not miss out on some of you are like, this is terrible. I didn't know that, right? It happens. I don't know. I don't wish that on you. Regardless, I don't want you to wait. I want you to be a part of this. And so maybe for some of us, it's the babysitter that's coming over all the time to help watch your kids. Maybe there's an opportunity to ask some questions and to dig in and to pour in. Maybe it's a person that you work with, a coworker, maybe a younger one in age or just younger in experience. And you can come along and say, man, I would really like to pour into you. I'd like to help you. I'd like to help you navigate this. Or maybe it's going over to our student ministry and volunteering, serving, saying, hey, I want to take some youngsters under my wing and I want to pour into them. Maybe you don't have kids yourself or you don't have kids at home right now, but you can go over there and serve. And so we're going to pass papers out just now. I'm just kidding. The fact that you believe that is a problem. We got to talk about that later. Anyways. But the idea is, man, what an opportunity to help move the story of God forward by not letting everything stop with you, but wanting to be a part of helping that next generation or that next wave of people come behind you. But there's a third relationship. This is one we're more familiar with. And it's just, I think we all need a peer, like Paul was to Barnabas and like Barnabas was to Paul. Let me read to you the verse and then I'll explain the story. It says this, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. We got to pause for a minute. Saul later became Paul. We're talking about the same individual. Came to look for Saul. We'll just say Paul here. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. Now, when I read that verse, you might go, okay, I don't quite get it. Something very significant happened here between Paul and Barnabas. See, Paul converted to become a Christian. But before he was a Christian, he was a Christian persecutor. Now, our evidence, we don't have hard evidence that Paul actually killed Christians himself, but we do know that his command was responsible for the killing of Christians. And so all of a sudden, Paul goes from a Christian killer to a pastor. Anybody else a little nervous about that? Well, that's exactly how they felt. Can you imagine, and I don't want to be too dark here, just imagine we go back a few years and bin Laden is still alive and he converts to Christianity. He travels down to Richmond or to Texas or Mo City, wherever we're at, and he says, hey, I want to come to that church. I want to bless that church. I have a word from God. And somehow we, security, fell asleep and we allowed him on the stage. And he stood up and said, I just want you to know God loves you. I want to pray for you. Everybody, bow your head, close your eyes. Right? Some of you are like, I'll give you one eye, but I don't know about this, man. This is too soon. Well, guess what? In a very similar way, Paul had the same struggle. He had such a radical shift in what happened in his life that people were having a hard time trusting him, believing him. And it was Barnabas that went to grab him and to pull him in and to support him, to let others know that he believed in this guy. And then they went on to do ministry together. And here's the deal. We all need that. We need someone that gets it. Right? We need someone that's walking that journey. I think about the parents that dedicated their kids today. Isn't it nice to have other parents that just understand how a two-year-old thinks, to understand what a teenager is thinking, though it's really hard to understand. But at least we understand they do dumb things, right? We get it. And so when you have someone that's walking that journey, man, it's so helpful. I think about this and now, like, I get it. I get what it's like to be a Cowboys fan. Because you just lose when, I'm kidding. But I'll say this, we lost too. And so we all get it. Like, we understand. So now, I don't understand how the Cowboys are so kind to always open up a spot for someone else in the playoffs. That part I don't get, but that's another story. But like, we get, so it's nice when you go, man, you get it too. Our sports team, gosh, we love them, but we don't always win. And it's nice to get it. We could go on and on. I think about pastors. Man, it's so good when you can meet another. I have the blessing. Can I just brag on him for a minute? I have the blessing to have Abe in my life. Abe, who's leading our West End church and is doing the same thing I'm doing, and we get to walk this thing together. And you can clap for that. Clap for him, please. And we bounce off each other. Man, we're encouraging each other. It's so great. If you're a parent of a special needs child, isn't it great to have another parent that understands that journey that's so difficult and so unique? By the way, I know this is hard, but I just want to say, I think God has gifted you with such an honor to be in that position. Now, for whatever reason, and you may doubt this, God felt like you could handle this situation, and he entrusted you with it. I'm so grateful we as a church get to walk alongside of you. It just helps when somebody gets it, doesn't it? It's so helpful. We need this in our life. Now, when you talk about relationships, when you talk about having meaningful relationships, I do think it's helpful to consider a couple of things. And so I want to give you just three things to think about before we go. Here's the first one. When you think about expanding your circle, adding new people into your life, I want you to think about this. Start with a common interest, but do not settle there. So maybe for you, it's sports, and you connect over sports. Maybe it's being a parent. Maybe it's fill in the blank. You read a book and this book club started or whatever. You start somewhere of common interest. That's a great place to start. But I don't want you to stay there. Because if you do, what'll happen if you're not careful, you'll begin to build relationships around you with people that think like you, that act like you, and look like you. And we want to have a wide variety of relationships because it makes us better. It gives us better perspective. Right, and we don't want to get into politics, but if you're a Republican and you can't be a friend with the Democrat, that's tough because that's not the love that God talks about in the scriptures. But you don't have to agree with whatever side you hold on to. I think maturity in relationships is to be able to see, man, you are valuable, I am valuable, God loves you, God loves me, let's be friends. We don't see the world the same, but that's okay. We're chasing after the same thing, which is God. You see how that works? My wife, she's in a group of ladies. They call it Article Club. I've never been. I don't really know what they do, if I'm being honest with you. But I'm pretty sure they read an article every week. But what she does tell me is when they get together, every single time they start to talk about a topic, there is always at least one person that disagrees with the rest of the group. And yet, every time when they finish, you know what they are? Still friends. Still doing life together. So we can be in mature relationships, not see the world the same, but also learn so much from each other. So don't get stuck there. Here's the second thing. I think this is big. Embrace the storm. Embrace the storm. Now there is, go ahead and throw this graph up. The Tuckman stages of development was really designed to help teams. So if you're in a professional world, if you're a boss or a leader, this might be something you want to go research on your own later on. But Tuckman's stages of development come really in five stages. We're going to focus on four, but I want to show you this. He says every relationship, so think of your friend group, family, it could be one-on-one, starts in the forming stage. And basically in the forming stage, what happens is these folks come together and you're kind to each other because everybody wants to get along, right? No one wants to have problems when they first meet a group of people. And so you're all connecting and you're all just being soft and kind. And then we go to storming. We're going to skip over that. I'll come back to it in a second. Then we go through the norming stage. The norming is when we start to understand each other. We see we have different personalities. We see that we have different views, but we begin to appreciate it. We begin to work in it, right? Teams especially. You're good at this. You're good at that. I'm good at this. Let's work in what we're good at. This is how the team development begins. And then you get to the final stage where you're performing and, man, you're cranking on all cylinders. Great things are happening. That can be friends, corporate America, or one-on-one relationships. But in this graph, there is this stage, the storming stage. And what Tuchman argues is that every great group of people, every great team, every great group of friends is going to go through a storming season. It's the season when your really mean personality comes out, when your different view on something comes out, when your impatience comes out because you're done with being forming, you're being real now. And what happens, most relationships, when they hit the storming, they scatter. Because no one likes conflict. I don't want to fight with you. I don't like the way you think about that. Oh, I don't like the way your personality is too much for me. And Tuchman's argument is, if you can grow through the storming, what's waiting for you on the other side is incredible. But you have got to be willing to work through the storming. So in essence, we've got to embrace the storm. And some of you right now are in a storm. Out of Mo City, Ramsey, you know, wherever you are, someone's in a storm. And they got a group of friends that's in some tension right now. Maybe because of something someone said, something someone did. And I'm just telling you, you can let it split. But likely what will happen in a few years, you'll look back and go, you know, I used to be friends with those guys. And we're not friends anymore. And now that I think about it, and it's not emotional, it's a couple years removed, it was kind of silly what broke us apart. I don't want that for you. And Tuchman is saying, don't wonder, expect that your group, your friends, your relationships are going to go through a storming season. So embrace the storm, grow through it, because what waits on the other side is so much better. Embrace the storm. Here's the last one. Don't forget your third strand. Ecclesiastes 4:12 tells us that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. You've probably heard it if you've been to a wedding. It's a great illustration at a wedding, but this is important for all relationships. The idea behind the third strand is that there's two people and then there's God. And God's the third strand stringing it all together. Now, here's what I don't want you to hear. I'm not saying that you cannot have great friendships that have nothing to do with God. You can. Many of us probably do. The difference is when that relationship hits a hard rock, or when that relationship needs to move to something else, sometimes without God, that relationship gets stuck. Sometimes without God, that relationship just stays stagnant. It just remains kind of surface level because there's not something pushing you to something deeper. I remember in high school, I hate this story, but I have to tell you. I remember in high school, a couple years ago, just kidding. No, in high school, I had a best friend. And we had a group of friends, we were all friends, but in that group was my best friend, and his mom passed away. And it was really the first experience any of us had with death, navigating loss. And so I remember that the night she passed, our group of friends drove down to the hospital, and we met up with our friend. Of course, we're 17, 18 years old, we were seniors in high school. We didn't know what to do, we didn't know what to say. We're just like, hey man, what's up, you good? I don't really know what to say. So we did what we knew how to do best. We went and drank. We took him to a bar. And I know you're confused. How does a high schooler get into the bar? There is a way, if there is a will. We found a way. And we drank and we drank and we drank until we had to go home. And you know, the next morning, my buddy made no progress. In fact, he probably took a step backwards because he probably didn't feel so great the next morning. And I'm telling you this because I wish so badly I could go back to that day knowing what I know now. I wish so badly I could have come alongside of him and helped him understand how God can be that stabilizing force in his life in this most difficult time. I wish I could go back to that moment. And I bet you there's a few of us that have similar stories. There is a difference when a relationship is rooted in God versus one that's not. And oftentimes, it's the direction in which it's heading. My wife, this is a cool story. I'm kind of bragging on my wife for a minute. My wife, the other day, they were doing a, I just realized she's in a lot of groups. She was doing a Bible study at Kroger. Real thing, at Kroger. Love it. That's a pastor's wife right there. She's leading a little Bible study, and they were hanging out afterwards, and it was her and one other girl, Taylor, and they were just hanging around, and a lady came up to them and said, are you guys like a church thing, like a Christian thing? And they were like, yeah, we just had a Bible study. We were just hanging out, and she just starts crying. She says, oh, my gosh, I'm having so much trouble with my son. He's about to die. We don't know what to do. And they got to pray with that lady right there in the middle of Kroger. Right, can you imagine? Look at the difference. Now, I'm not going to knock you. I'm just going to be honest, though, for a second. Like, okay, wine group. Nothing wrong with the wine, whatever. Do your thing. But the wine group that's just there sipping versus the group that got together to dig into the Bible just a little bit, to learn together, you can see the potential. Right? We're not saying one's terrible. It's not what we're saying. We're just saying when you think about it, the relationships that are deeply rooted in God open the door for something so much more. And that's what we want for you. So don't forget the third strand. We all need this. We need a mentor. Gosh, we need a peer, someone that gets it, that's doing life with us. And isn't it so beneficial to have a mentee, someone or somebodies that we can be pouring into? So with that in mind, let me ask you a couple questions. Here's the first one. Thinking about my friend. Is there a friend that you need to bring home? I told you, I wish so badly I could go back to that night and do things differently with my buddy. I wish I could have actually been helpful for him. Is there a friend that you need to go get? Maybe someone that's going through a tough time and they've started to drift from you. Or maybe there's a friend that you and them are having some unforgiveness issues. Something happened, they did something, you did something, they said something, you said something. And because of that, there's been a fracture. Is that a friend God maybe tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey, I want you to go get them. I want you to go bring them home. I wonder. Second question. Is there a friend you need a hug? Or guys, bro hug, all right, do your thing. Cool, I want you to be uncomfortable. Many of us in this room are so blessed to have amazing friends in our life. And sometimes it's just good to pause and give them a hug and say, I'm so glad that you're a part of my life. I'm so glad you're walking through this thing with me. Maybe you need to do it here. Maybe on the way out, there's just gonna be hugs everywhere. That'd be amazing. Just go up and hug someone, make sure you know them. But hug someone, it's just, man, I am so glad we're friends. You mean the world to me, and I never get to say it. I want to say, is there a friend you need to hug? And then finally, is there a friend you need to find? When we do a message like this, almost inevitably, there's a group of people that go, man, I love everything you're saying, but I don't have that. I don't have these friends you're talking about. I don't have these relationships in my life, but I want them. And I have good news for you. The beginning of this message, I explained to you that this was God's desire, that you would not be alone. And we're not just talking about marriage, by the way, but that you would not be alone, that you would have people in your life. And if God desires something from you, if you're willing to do the work, God will help make it happen. And the good news is, oftentimes, God uses the church to be a place to develop deep, meaningful relationships in your life. And so if you find yourself going, man, I need that friend. I want to have all these cool stories too. I want to know what this is like. I want to encourage you. Maybe today there's someone that you see every week, or most city, West End, Ramsey, you see them every week, but you never say anything to them. Maybe today's the day. You just run up to them and enter. Don't hug them yet. Just handshake them. But just say, hey, I see you every week, and I just thought I'd enter. Hey, my name's Chad. And if it's weird, you can blame me and then run the other way and we'll all be fine. But who knows what might happen by just taking that. And I know the introverts, right, the quiet, reserved folks are going, no way, bro. No way. I'm going to tell you something. You guys, you might just consider saying yes for the rest of the year. Whatever they say on this stage, just say yes. Bingo and bot, yes. All right. Stakes and say yes. All right. Bible, yes, I'll join that group. Yes, I'll serve in students. All right, that was good. Yes. And I know inside you're thinking, no, don't do it. Just say yes without thinking. And watch what happens as you kind of break out of your shell. Or maybe we just need to go grab a card off the board and sign up for a small group and start there. But guys, we need me. I hope you see it. I hope you don't feel me pleading for something that you don't believe. If you don't believe it, don't do this. Do not. Stay alone and isolated. Totally fine. But if you hear what I'm saying, I really do believe God is trying to rally us together because, man, we need to stay unified. And this world does teach us a lot to be a little more on our own. Individualism is kind of our thing. But, man, individualism eventually leads to isolation, and I don't want that for you. And God doesn't want that for you. So try to find a mentor, find a peer, and find a mentee. And I have good news. If you're looking, you can find all of those here or at West End or at Missouri City, the Ramsey Unit. You can find it all, and that's an incredible gift from God, isn't it? Let me pray for us. Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for this time we get to spend together. I pray, Lord, that you've allowed what needed to be said to come out, Lord. Now, for those of us here, and we're going, man, I need a friend. I need some friends in my life. I need a mentor in my life. I need a mentee in my life. I want to do that. I want to pour into someone. God, would you just begin to stir in us? And as we take those steps, I believe you'll lead us where we need to go. God, many of us, we just need to hug someone today and just say, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for walking with me in life. Maybe some of us need to reach out and bring somebody back. Maybe it's through forgiveness. Maybe it's just showing up at their doorstep and saying, I've missed you and I want you back. God, wherever you're stirring us, may we be faithful to follow. We thank you for this time and this great church that we have to come together every week. God, we give you this time. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.